Okay, let's get cracking. Today's a very exciting day as we finish off the fourth parak of Maseches Bikurim and as we finish off all of Seder Zeraim, which is very, very exciting as we do the last Mishnah today of Seder Zeraim and Maseches Bikurim. And then we're going to be in the first Mishnah of Seder Moed as you begin and learn the first Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos. But first, let's finish off Seder Zeraim and Maseches Bikurim. Until now, in the parak, we've been discussing the androgynous, the individual, who is both the attributes and characteristics of male and characteristics and attributes of females. And we discussed how is he like a male, we discussed how he's like a female. In the previous mission, we discussed how he's like both a male and a female. And now, in the final mission in parak Dalet, Mishnah Hey of Maseches Bikurim, we're going to discuss how an androgynous is not like a male or a female. Says the Mishnah, Eino shevelok lo lenashim v'lo lenashim. Kate said, how is an androgynous not like a male or a female? Says the Mishnah, Ein chayavin al tumaso. The one is not obligated to bring a carbon if he becomes tameh as a result of the androgynous. We did learn previously that androgynous, if he has either a white liquid leave his body or a red liquid leave his body, blood leave his body, so he's like a male in that the white liquid makes him tameh. He's also like a female in that the red liquid, the blood, would make him tameh again. Tumas nida for the woman and tumas zav for the male. However, if the androgynous has either one of these things and he does become tameh, nevertheless, if someone were to come into contact with him, he were to enter the Beis HaMikdash, or if he ate certain holy foods and so on, and either whether it's he does it or the person that comes into contact with him does it. So in any of these cases, he is not obligated to bring a carbon. Normally, if you're a male that does it, if you're a female that has it and so on, then you would be required to bring a carbon if you're to come into the Beis HaMikdash and so on after contracting such a level of tumah. But in this case, he's neither a male nor a female. He would not be obligated to go to the Beis HaMikdash, bring a carbon rather, in either of these cases. Continuing in the mission of Ein Sorf and Al Tumaso, similarly, one would not burn truma on account of his tumah. Normally, if you make truma tameh, then you have to burn the truma. Sreifas truma has to happen. You can't be eaten, and therefore it has to be burnt. However, in the situation of an androgynous that either had the white or the red discharge, in which case he is tameh out of a suffix, out of a doubt, and then he touched some truma, the truma may not be burnt, and therefore it's a suffix, it's a doubt, and therefore we do not burn such tumah. Continuing in the Mishnah, Ve'eino ne'arach lo ka'anashim ve'lo kanashim, that unlike men and unlike women, an androgynous cannot be the subject of erchin. What's erchin? So an erech is a vow in which a person declares that he will give a certain erech, a certain value of a specific person to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Torah in Sefer Vayikra gives a fixed erech, a fixed amount for every single person based on his age and his gender. So for example, the erech of a man between the ages of 20 and 60 years old is 50 shkalim. So our mission here is teaching us that someone who declares that he will give the erech of an androgynous does not need to give anything, because at the end of the day, the Torah refers there only to definite males and definite females, and certainly an androgynous is neither a definite male nor a definite female. Continuing in the Mishnah of Einom Nimkar Be'evet Ivri, lo kanashim, unlike men and unlike women, he cannot be sold as an Eved Ivri. The halacha is that a Jewish man may be sold as an Eved Ivri in one of two ways. Either if he's poor, he may sell himself in order to support himself and his family. The second way is if he steals and is unable to repay, the court may sell him and give the money to the victim of the theft. Now, the halacha is that a male can be sold to be an Eved Ivri only if he is an adult, whereas a female can only be sold if she is a minor. Therefore, an androgynous can never be sold if he is a minor. He can't be sold because he might be a male. And if he is an adult, he cannot be sold because he might be a female. This is also a way in which he is not like a male nor like a female. Continuing in the Mishnah, Vim Amar Hareini Nazir Sheinze Ish Viisha Hareze Nazir, that if a person saw an androgynous and said, I am a Nazir, if this person is either not a man or not a woman, so in this case he would become a Nazir, that since one of these two options is certainly true, either he's not a man or he's not a woman, certainly one of them is true. Therefore, if someone were to say that about him, the status of Nazirus would take effect. He would become a Nazir because, again, at least part of what he said was completely true. Okay, Based on what we've been saying until now in this parak regarding the androgynous, it seems pretty clear that an androgynous was either a man or a woman, but we don't know which one. The next Tana, as we finish off Maseches Bikurim, is going to discuss the possibility that perhaps, at least according to this opinion of Rabbi Yossi, an androgynous is neither a man nor a woman, but belongs to a third type of a category. And we're going to see that this Tana is going to contrast the androgynous with a tumtum, which literally means hidden. And a tumtum is basically someone who has a some sort of a thick membrane covering their body parts. It's unclear whether the person is a man or a woman, but we know for a fact that he's either a man or a woman, unlike the androgynous. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, androgynous b'riya b'fnei atzma v'lo hechriyu bo. An androgynous, says Rabbi Yossi, is a creature of his own. He's his own being, his own entity. And the Chacham could not decide whether he's a man or whether he's a woman, meaning to say there are three possibilities. Either he's a man or he's a woman, or really he's a third type of being that's neither a man nor a woman. Aval tumtum, says the Mishnah, but a tumtum, a person whose body parts are hidden and we're therefore not sure if he's a man or a woman, Enochein ela safek ish, safek isha. Rather, when it comes to a tumtum, it's clear that it's possibly a man or possibly a woman, but certainly there's no third type of person when it comes to a tumtum, unlike the androgynous. And this is because a tumtum definitely has the organs of either a man or a woman, but we simply can't tell which one because they are covered up. Hadron Allah, Meseches Bikurim, and Seder Zeroyim. We just finished Seder Zeroyim, which is very, very exciting. The first of the six books of Mishnayos. May we return. Hadron means to return. May we return to this and continue to learn Seder Zeroyim and return to it to do some Chazara to review the Mishnayos there as well. Okay, now we're going to begin the first Mishnah of Maseches Shabbos, but there's a little bit of an introduction that we have to do in order to fully understand this Mishnah and much of what the Masechta of Maseches Shabbos is going to be about. First of all, we should just be aware that when it comes to Shabbos, really much of the Masechta of Maseches Shabbos is going to be discussing the Lamed Tes Melachos, the 39 acts of creative work that a person is not allowed to do on Shabbos. Now, most of the Lamed Tes Melachos are not explicitly written in the Torah. They're not listed in the Torah. They are listed in the seventh perek of Maseches Shabbos, as we will Amir Tzah Hashem learn. But the 39 melachos themselves are not outlined clearly in the Torah. Rather, they're learned from the Mishkan, the various things, the various ways in which we built the Mishkan, we worked in the Mishkan. So ultimately, we learn, the Gemara Maseches Shabbos learns out the Lamed Tes Melachos from the various types of work that were done in the Mishkan. Now, there are two types of melachos. Number one, there are avos, and those are the 39 melachos. Each one is an av melacha. The word av literally means father, because ultimately, these are the number one melacha. These are the main thing that was done in the Mishkan, and therefore, those are the Lamed Tes Melachos. However, in addition to the Avos Melachos, there are also Toldos, which literally means the children. There are subcategories that are similar to the Avos, similar to the main category, but are a little bit different, as we will learn, as we learn Maseches Shabbos. Now, both Toldos and Avos Melachos are usher on a Mid-Araiso level, on a Torah level. And if a person performs either an Av Melacha or a tolda malacha with edim, there are witnesses, and there's hasra, and there's some sort of a warning that was given in front of Bezin, and there are certain rules in front of the edim, rather, and there's certain rules that maybe we'll learn about at a different time in terms of the rules of hasra, when the warning is considered to be valid. But if there are edim, and there's hasra, and a person still violated these malachos, then he gets skila, he gets stoned. Again, not nowadays, but certainly in the time when there's a Bezin, he would get skila. If there were edim, but there was no hasra, there was no warning, then he can't be killed by Bezin. Rather, he gets what we call kares. He gets cut off from the Jewish people, and that is something that Hashem takes care of. We do not take care of it. That's if he does it on purpose, if he does it intentionally, what we refer to as b'mezid. However, if a person does one of the Lamed Tes Melachos b'shogeg, if he does them by accident, then he's still obligated. He doesn't get the death penalty, he doesn't get kares, but he gets what is referred to as a karban chatos. He has to bring in karban chatos in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, as we begin learning Maseches Shabbos and discuss the various melachos and the various prohibitions of Shabbos, we should know that the first melacha that is going to be discussed is the melacha of Hotza, of carrying, which if you look in the list that is provided in the seventh parak of Maseches Shabbos, Hotzah is actually the final melacha of Shabbos on that list. But interestingly enough, it's the first melacha discussed in Maseches Shabbos. Now the Meiri points out that the reason why Hotzah is the first one here, whereas he's the last one in the Mishnah, is it's important to discuss learning a melacha like Hotzah, because there are many, many different aspects of it, different rishuyos like we're about to learn, different domains that we're going to learn, different types of carrying, throwing, and so many different halachos that have to be ironed out and understood, and therefore it certainly gets a lot of attention in Maseches Shabbos. There are a bunch of prakim that we're going to learn that are mostly just devoted to this idea and concept and melacha of Hotzah. Now, the basic idea and the basic concept of Hotzah is as follows. Number one, there are four rishuyos, there are four domains of Shabbos, four types of areas that we discuss when learning the halachos of Hotzah. Number one is a rishus harabim. A rishus harabim is a public domain, a public place, typically where people gather. There's some sort of like an intercity, a highway. It's a very, very large public type of domain, and that is a rishus harabim. A rishus hayachid is a private domain, something that is not public, something that is private. The exact dimensions, really, of a rishus hayachid, number one, it has to be something that has 10 tefachim of height or depth. So it could be in the ground, 10 tefachim, or there has to be some sort of a mechitza, some sort of a wall that guards it, that protects it, which is 10 tefachim at least high. That's number one. And number two, it has to be at least four by four tefachim of space. That if it's at least 4x4 tefachim of space and it has 10 tefachim of height or depth, then it is considered to be a rishus hayachid. The third type of category of domain on Shabbos is what we refer to as a karmelis. And a karmelis is neither a rishus harabim or a rishus hayachid. It's somewhere in the middle, like we will discuss. The fourth type of domain, the fourth category of area when it comes to Shabbos is a makom petur. And a makom petur is an area in a rishus harabim that has 10 tefachim of height, like a rishus hayachid, but it does not have a 4x4 area of space. It's less than 4x4 areas of space. Therefore, it is considered to be a makom petur. Now, there are two isurim on a da'araisa level, two Torah prohibitions when it comes to Hotzah. Number one is you're not allowed to carry something four amos in a rishus harabim. We're going to discuss exactly what that means very, very shortly. But you can't move something four amos in a rishus harabim, number one. Number two is you can't transfer something from a rishus harabim, from a public domain, to a rishus hayachid, to a private domain. Doing that would also constitute a Torah prohibition, an isur da'araisa, so you can't do either of those things. Now, when it comes to moving something from a rishus harabim to a makom petur, right? Because again, the makom petur is in the rishus harabim. There's 10 tefachim of height or depth, but not 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim of space, of area. So that's completely mutter on Shabbos. You're allowed to move something, even the chatchila, from a rishus harabim to a makom petur, or vice versa. However, when it comes to a karmelis, moving something from a rishus harabim to a karmelis, etc., from rishus hayachid to a karmelis, that would be an iser midirab. That's a rabbinic prohibition, unless there's what we refer to as an Erev Chatzeros, which I'll learn about more in Maseches Erevin. You can make an Erev. That's why, let's say, in a place like Teaneck or the Five Towns or wherever you may live, or LA or anywhere, you're allowed to carry, because the cities in which we live are generally speaking not considered to be a Rishos HaRabim. Our homes are considered to be a Rishos HaYachad, so you can certainly carry in your homes. But if you want to bring it something to Shul, so most likely where you live is considered to be a Karmelis on a halachic level, and therefore the only reason why you're allowed to carry in your town is because there's an Erev, and the Erev allows you to do that. You cannot use an Erev to carry from a Rishos HaRabim to a Rishos HaYachad. That does not work. An Erev only allows you to carry from a rishus hayachid or rishus harabim to a karmelis, or vice versa. Now, a few more just ideas of introduction as we introduce this idea of Hotzah. Number one is, like we just mentioned, in order for you to be over the Isser D'Arayz, in order for you to transgress the Torah prohibition of Hotzah on Shabbos, so there are two components of the prohibition. Number one is what we refer to as Akira, where you lift something up in one Rishos, and the second part is Hanacha, where you put it down in another Rishos. So if you lift it up, in order for you to violate the Isser, the prohibition on Torah level, you have to lift it up, let's say, in the Rishos HaRabim, and then you have to put it down in the Rishos HaYachid. If you only do one of those things, if you only lift it up in one or put it down in the other, and not both, then it's an Isser Midirabanan, but that's not the Torah is the Torah prohibition of Hotza'ah, because you didn't do both the Akira, both the lifting it up, and the Hanacha, and the putting it down. Now, one final area of introduction. The halacha is that if a person starts the malacha but is finished by someone else, then they are both potter. In order for you to violate this malacha of hotzah, and really any malacha, you have to do both parts of the malacha, both the beginning and the end. Let's begin now as we learn Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph of Maseches Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shehin Arba Bifnim. The carrying on Shabbos, the prohibition of Hotzah on Shabbos, really has two Isurim on the Torah level, which really ends up being four when you include the Midi Isur Midrabanan. Ushtayim Shehin Arba. And two types are forbidden by the Torah that are really four types when rabbinic law is included. Right, in the case of a person that is standing Bachutz. So both whether you're standing Bifnim, whether you're standing in a Rishos HaRabim, or whether you're standing in a Rishos HaYachid, there are four types of forbidden transfers, of prohibited movements. Two that are forbidden by the Torah, and another two that are forbidden by the Chachamim, that are forbidden by Chazal. Each set of four types is prohibited both to a person who is standing inside a Rishos HaYachid and to a person who is standing in a Rishos HaRabim. The Mishnah now is going to describe the two types of moving, of carrying, that are usher on a Torah level, that are prohibited on a Torah level, to a person standing inside a Rishos HaRabim, inside a public area. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad, how is this so? So number one, Ha'ani Omid Bachut Ubalabayis Bifnim. Let's say you take the example of a poor person. He's standing outside on the street, assuming that it's a Rishos HaRabim, that it's a public domain. And you have the Balabayis, the person who owns the house, who's standing inside his house in a Rishos HaYachid. So what's the case? Poshat Ha'ani Es Yado Lifnim V'Nosan L'Soch Yado Shabalabayis. What happens? If the poor person, while holding, let's say, a basket or something in his hand, he extended his hand into the house and put the object into the Balabais' hand, right? So that would be Usur Mida Arai. So what did he do? He picked it up in the Rishos HaRabim. He put it on the hand of the Balabais in the Rishos HaYachid. He did the Akir, he did the Hanacha from Rishos HaRabim to a Rishos HaYachid. And that's completely Usur. That's prohibited. Oh, Shinata Mitocha Vahotzi. Or if the poor person took an object, let's say a loaf of bread, from the homeowner's hand and took it out of the house, there too, what he did was completely usher. These are the two Yisurim Midda Araisa. In this case, he took it, he lifted it up from the Rishos HaYachid, he brought it into the Rishos HaRab and put it down there. So in that case, we would say that he violated the Isur Da Araisa, the Torah prohibition of carrying on Shabbos. However, says the Mishnah, as the Mishnah says, Ha'ani Chayiv, Ubalabayis Pater. In both of these cases, the poor person is chayiv. He did a biblical prohibition of transferring, of carrying from one to the other. The homeowner did nothing wrong, right? He just was standing there with something, and he either took it or didn't take it. But in the end of the day, it was the poor person who violated these isurim on a Torah level by doing both the akira, by lifting it up, and by doing the hanacha, by putting it down as well. The Mishnah is going to describe the two types of transferring, of moving things, of carrying things that are biblically forbidden to a person inside a Rishos HaYachid. Before we were discussing the ani in the Rishos HaRabim, what he did and how he would violate the Torah prohibition. Now we're going to discuss how the Baal HaBayis could violate as well from standing in the Rishos HaYachid. Says the Mishnah, Pashat Baal HaBayis is Yadu Lachutz, V'Nosam L'Soch Yado Shel Ani. That if the owner, if the Baal HaBayis, while holding an object in his hand, he extended his hand out of the house and put the object into the poor person's hand, O Shenotha Mitocha V'Hichnes. Or if the Baal HaBayis took an object from the poor person's hand and brought it into the house, in both of these cases as well, Baal HaBayis Chayiv Ha'ani Pater, the homeowner, the Baal HaBayis is obligated as Chayiv. He did the wrong thing, he violated the Torah on a Torah level, and the poor person is exempt. Because again, in both of these cases as well, the Baal HaBayis did the Akira and the Hanacha, both the lifting and the putting down, both either in the Rishos HaRabim, in the public domain, or in the Rishos HaYachid, in the private domain. Now in the previous four cases, either the Baal HaBayis or the poor person had committed the avera, the transgression, on a Torah level. The Mishnah now is going to describe the two cases which only are usher on a midrabanan level, not on a Torah level. Says the Mishnah, Pashat Ani Es Yadu Lifnim V'Natal Baal HaBayis Mitocha. That if the poor person who's holding onto something in his hand, he extends his hand into the house, and the Baal HaBayis took the object from his hand, Or if the Baal HaBayis put an object into the poor person's extended hand, and the poor person, withdrawing his hand, took the object out of his house. In both of these cases, shneihem peturim, they're both exempt with respect to the Torah law, but each of them have broken the rabbinic law. Like we said, in each of these cases, either the poor person or the Baal HaBayis did either akira or hanacha, either the person lifted it up or put it down, and by doing one of them, you're not obligated on a d'oraisa level, but you are obligated on a midrabbanan level, and that's what we saw in this case. Now we're going to end with two more cases where there's an isra midrabbanan that was transgressed. Pasha Baal HaBayis is yado lachutz v'natal ha'ani mitocha. If the Baal HaBayis holding an object in his hand extended his hand out of his house, and the poor person took the object from it, or if the poor person put an object into the homeowner's extended hand, and the homeowner withdrawing his hand brought the object into his house, shneihem peturin. Here too, they are both exempt on the Torah level, but these transfers are forbidden on a midrabbanon level, on a rabbinic level, because again, in this case as well, either the poor person or the Baal HaBayis either did the akira, the lifting up, or the hanacha, the putting down. And once again, if you do both of them, that's aser midaraisa. If you do one of them, then each person is aser, was chayev on a midarabanan level. Quick review, the last Mishnah, Maseches Bikurim, Perek Aleph, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey, discuss the ways in which a nadrigonus is not like a man and not like a woman. And then it discussed the possibility that perhaps it's even a third type of category, and so on and so forth. And then in the beginning, we begin Maseches Shabbos, where we said that there are really four ways for a person to violate Hotzah on Shabbos. Two of them are D'oraisa, two of them are Midrabbanan. The two D'oraisa ways are by, if you do both the Akira and the Hanacha, both lifting it up and putting it down from the Rishos HaRabim or in the Rishos HaYachid, and the two midrabbanic, the rabbinic ways that a person can violate Hotzah on Shabbos is by either doing the Hanacha or the Akira, either lifting it up or putting it down there too. You violate the Isra on a midrabbanon level, but not a D'oraisa level, because you didn't do both the Akira and the Hanacha, but lifting it up and putting it down. Have a great day.